Life. Awaken. War. These three key words link together unequivocally. Life is living the qualities of God. Awaken indicates that we are asleep and we are not exercising the beautiful opportunity to be living in a spiritual atmosphere that is filled with intelligence, with acuity of spiritual senses, which are sharp as a tack, that we are neglecting that everything is a part of divine principle, for that is the foundation that reaches out and includes all of the other qualities of God. It is the foundation, the core. Think of a candelabra. Principle being the center stem with the other qualities branching off of it. One must always be alert so that they do not slip in to a passive attitude about anything. Prayer, more than anything else, needs to be full of vitality, clearness, directness. If we give aggressive mental suggestion one moment whereby we are passive, it will present itself in a very deceitful way that makes it look like it is truth, that it is the real path to take. Obviously, it is not. And all we have to do is to look at what the end result always is when we get off of the path that is leading to a higher level of spiritual understanding. Motive has a direct influence on life. Even though motive is one of the attributes of truth, life is what we are living. Are we living an improper motive that is not a part of the kingdom of reality? Are we trying to get something for nothing? Are we trying to cut corners? There's only one path to truth, and that is filled with all of the qualities of God, and they all must be expressed at one time or another, depending on our exact motive and where are we aiming with whatever line of study we're embarking on at the moment. If we have been dutifully balancing our life by utilizing the qualities of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, and truth, then we will be at the point of perfection, wholeness, fulfillment, all of which are qualities of love. We cannot get there if we are living any quality, or let's say an absence of quality, because there is no vacuum in love. Think of love as an overview of everything about God, and that we are nurturing each and every one of those qualities. Love is like motherhood. It has a fresh idea, and it is nurturing it until the idea is independent and does not require the constant nurturing of its source. Of course, the real source is God. And a so-called human mother is only a symbol of the love of God. Life is a symbol of the vitality of God, the life, the activity, the fatherhood. One could consider life, truth, and love as a unit wherein life is giving life, truth is making sure that we stay on the track, and love is nurturing with the goal of total fulfillment. War or conflict comes about when we are passive with life instead of active and alert, when we are sleeping instead of being awake. Nikola Tesla defined sickness as a symbol of something within being in conflict, where we are not at peace within ourselves. That's exactly what conflict is. Sickness or disease means that there is a dis-ease. There is a lack of principle. Principle is balance, harmony. There is an element of error which is being accepted and churning around within one's consciousness, or there would be no conflict. In the situation right now, on an international scale, Europe is trying to steal Russia. Russia is the country with the most natural resources in the world that are estimated to be valued at $75 trillion. The United States is number two with 45. So Russia has 67% more in natural resources than the United States. As of now, no other country has tried to directly steal the United States. But it has been stolen from within by its own government agencies, stealing it away from the population, stripping the population of all rights and independence. President Dwight D. Eisenhower in the 50s recognized the problem and warned in his final departure speech about it, naming it the military-industrial complex, but did not seem to do anything about it. President Kennedy, his successor, had a direct goal of getting rid of the internal agencies that were trying to steal America from its population, headed up primarily by the CIA. But unfortunately, he was not wise enough. In fact, he was very stupid in conducting himself fully open and doing such a thing as going down a busy public thoroughfare in an open convertible that had no protection. It was an invitation for assassination because he had announced that he was planning to take down the corruption in politics, in the unelected people that were really running the country behind the scenes. President Trump is an expert in chess and in the art of war, and even though he's had something around 20 attempts on his life, he is still with us. And in fact, he is prophesied in the Bible as being the leader of freedom. If you want to know who the targets are in war, all you have to do is to do the required research to see what nations have the most wealth. Russia has been a target time and time again. France, with its so-called superhero Napoleon, tried to take it over. Hitler from Germany tried to take it over. The U.S., under the direction of corrupt agencies, such as the one already mentioned, tried to take it over. And most recently, all of the countries of Europe, except for a couple, have been united by their corrupt politicians, not backed by the populations, have been trying to take it over ever since the Berlin Wall came down, if not before. And yet, Russia is responsible more than anyone else or any other group of countries for defeating Germany, the Nazism under the leadership of Hitler during World War II. Russia is the one that saved the country from communism at the time. So conflict is the result of wanting something that you don't have, and you think you should have it, even though you didn't do anything to earn it. You want to live off of the efforts of someone else. Margaret Thatcher said it best. She said, "Socialism sounds fine until you run out of other people's money." Of course, communism is a much more aggressive form of government than socialism, but socialism leads to communism, and communism leads to total totalitarianism. And that's exactly the motive of the World Economic Forum to control the world and for the population of the world to be reduced by 94% down to a mere 500 million people from its present population of 8.3 billion, and for those 500 million, except for the so-called elite, which would be in control, for the rest of the 500 million, which is the bulk, to be slaves, to be eating bugs as their primary food, to own nothing and be happy. There would be no religion permitted of any kind or flavor. No home ownership, no family, no unification of the population or independence in any way, shape, or form. Everyone would be a number that is totally controlled. And if you didn't do what you were supposed to do, you would not be able to buy food or travel outside your residence. And you would starve to death. So it's either do it their way or you don't live. So they would be conducting war on the entire remaining 500 million people that would be permitted to live out of the 8.3 billion. This certainly is not Christian Science. This is not Christianity. This is not even human. But that is the plan. And they've been working on the plan for many decades. Until Trump came along it looked like they were going to succeed. Trump is only a symbol. We must not focus on an individual to be a savior of any kind. Christ Jesus is not a savior. He doesn't save us. He gave us the example how each one of us can be our own savior. We have to be the ones that are expressing the qualities of God. We have to be expressing the intelligence, the wisdom, and the knowing of omniscience. God is omniscient. We have to be expressing the creative ability, the capacity, the capability, the functionality, the facility of mind. And by the way, creative ability really means recognizing God's control of everything. And a new idea that we may be apprised of is nothing more than a rearrangement of truth in an order that we had not noticed previously. It is a revelation, not an invention. It is a revelation and not a creation. If we have a garden where we're growing food or flowers, something where we are nurturing it, cultivating it, and bringing it forth to a beautiful fruition, we are merely reflecting and recognizing and cultivating the qualities of God. And we are symbolizing it in the activities in which we are involved. If we are cultivating an opportunity to steal from someone else, it will be just like the movies portray those who are thieves. They never get ahead, and they try to do one last job of stealing from others so that they can retire and live happily ever after. But you notice that even in the movies, that never happens. They always are a loser when they're trying to take from someone else. It is a game of loss instead of a game of winning. Because they have the wrong motive. They don't understand that there is a divine principle that operates everything in the universe. And that if we do not align our thought with divine principle, which attaches and interacts with all of the qualities of God, then we are not only fighting an uphill battle, but a battle that can never be won. President Trump knows that there are never winners in war. And that's why he has been a promoter of peace. But unfortunately, just like all the other leaders that are noted in the Bible, with very few exceptions, there are human elements that are involved And he, unfortunately, does not understand that Israel is divided into two groups. One are the very evil Zionists, and the other is the very good Christian Jews who believe that Christ Jesus did serve as an example for us to follow, and those who do not recognize Christ Jesus as ever existing, or if he did, he was just another man of no significance. So he is not a part of their Bible. Christianity, on the other hand, recognize the Old Testament as only being a preparation for the New Testament. And the Old Testament has some very valuable instructions in it. For example, Habakkuk, a very little known or recognized prophet, and yet he gave us one of the most important statements in the entire Old Testament. That is, that God is of purer eyes than to behold evil. In other words, God doesn't see anything unlike itself. And I say it because God is not a person. God is qualities. Mary Baker Eddy makes it clear in all of her references to G-O-D. She defines God as incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. She also defines God on another page, 587. The first one was from page 465. And she defines God on 587 as the great I Am, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving, and eternal. Principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, love, all substance, intelligence. And she defines on that same page the word good, G-O-O-D. And that is defined as God, spirit, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, and omniaction. If you think about all three of those definitions, and the second one is basically the same as the first, except she emphasizes a few of the qualities of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, by pulling them out of those words and naming them as distinct and for emphasis purposes. Otherwise, the two definitions are identical. She rearranges the seven terms for God a little differently in the second one. The first one is in accordance with Genesis chapter 1, which is considered the order of the days of creation, or the days or the elements of development. But the action words are very important that are in the definition of good. Omniaction is not in the other ones, although the word action is a part of the term for mind. But if you think about all three of those definitions, there is no vacuum. Nothing is missing. Very comprehensive. It doesn't talk about a human. It doesn't talk about Jesus. It doesn't talk about any individual, but strictly qualities. A longtime friend who was an excellent practitioner told me one time, qualities, qualities, all are qualities. I was watching the Summer Olympics with she and her husband one time, a short clip of it for a few minutes, when I was visiting them at their home. And gymnastics was the event that was on that we were viewing for that period of time. And she said, look at the grace. She didn't talk about the individual. She just said, look at the grace. She was looking at the quality that seemed to be so obvious and the whole center of why the individual was able to perform the feats that she was performing. Their practicing is their life. Vladimir Ashkenazi, one of the most famous pianists in the world of piano, he was asked one time, how could he possibly play with such perfection all the time in his performances? And he said, practice, practice, practice. Until the music plays me. I don't know how to speak Russian. But that's how it sounded when I heard a video of him, watched a video of him in a performance. That's what we need to do if we want to be successful in any endeavor. And we have all of the gods laws working for us, because they're always in operation, if we have the right motive and we're involved in the right activity. It needs to be an activity that blesses everyone concerned, and we have to have a motive that is incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite. Unfortunately, with most good ideas, they get absorbed with the characteristics of humanity, and all the depravity creeps in there. Depravity is the lowest element of humanity. Mary Baker Eddy outlines the different levels, the four different levels of consciousness on page 115 and 116 of Science and Health. And we have it on our website. and depravity is the lowest. So when they let depravity creep in, it destroys the organization from within. And that's what has happened to all of the churches. And the Christian Science Church is not an exception, unfortunately. The moment Mary Baker Eddy passed on, they removed her picture from the textbook of Christian Science, which is Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, and published it the next day without her picture, and did everything they could to get rid of and encourage people to toss the previous version. When she was still with us, they started a department that was announcing and expecting to monitor everything that everyone read that was a member of the Christian Science churches. And they called it the Authorized Committee on Distribution, I think was the name of it. And she didn't find out about it till after it was already published in the journal. And so she immediately called up the board of directors and she said, that was not a good idea. I would never agree to that. She says, everyone has their own ability and right to decide what they want to read and when they want to read it and everything else. And we have no control over individuals. Christian Science of any religion is a science of individual freedom. So she had a statement refuting that, and it was sent out to everyone as an addendum asking them to insert it inside the journal. They couldn't attach it because it was bound by machines. And then after she passed on, they circulated a notice to all the churches, practitioners, teachers, lecturers, everyone on their mailing list, and they said, please remove and destroy that addendum because it is not effective. We will decide what literature is going to be authorized that you are going to be able to read. So as a result, like a bunch of sheep, almost everyone followed it. Fortunately, some of them did not, so there is that piece of paper that we have a copy of and other ones do. And we have it on our website. But war is the opposite of freedom. You don't fight a war to have freedom. We had a president called James Monroe, and he established a very good idea on war called the Monroe Doctrine. And it was that unless someone attacked America, and that included all of North and South America, because we're all connected as a continent, he said, unless someone attacks America, we should never be in a war. And then it would be only to defend the continent from nefarious attempts. And if you don't know what nefarious means, it is like the lowest aggressive form of evil. So it's very clear when we should be in war. And it was only out of necessity of survival of our homeland. So the Monroe Doctrine is very good to understand and to do everything to encourage anyone that is in Washington, D.C. as a politician to respect the Monroe Doctrine and abide by it. We should not be the warmongering country that we have been for a long time. Every war that we are in has been a man-made war. It's been a fraud on the public. It's been trickery to deceive them, to try to convince them that we should be in war by publishing lies about the opponent, propaganda. They've been involved in mind control methods, they being the U.S. government, along with many other governments. One of the worst being England. And we need to protect ourselves from those evil suggestions. That's why it's so important that evil controls the media. Because they keep pounding us with the same evil messages so that they can try to totally convert any goodness we have in our consciousness to believing the opposite as being true. And the opposite as being important. And the opposite as being the right characteristics for us to nurture. If we want to prevent war, we have to be informed about the evil. We need to expose it. We need to eradicate it. And we need to protect ourselves so that it doesn't happen again. And if each one does that individually, then a country can never be conquered by evil. And usually it is conquered within. The evil within the political system within is what we have to guard against. Just like President Eisenhower warned us back in 1960. He said we must be alert and guard against the industrial military complex. Now, what does that mean? It means anyone that has anything to do with making a profit off of war, anyone that manufactures military equipment, that's some of our biggest companies. And they bribe the politicians and offer them all high-paying jobs when they leave the government. And they steal the secrets from the U.S. government through these people that they hire. And they're getting fed the information while they are still politicians, before they leave their political careers. Famous for it are the generals and the admirals the top brass in the military and the heads of the agencies such as the CIA and the FBI and NASA, Secretary of Defense, Secretary of State, all these top people, they are lured with the most evil suggestions possible. That's why our country has become another Sodom and Gomorrah. The lowest possible attraction by bodily sensual things. And a weak person yields. Someone who resigned from Congress in the last year or so, before he resigned, he stood up and said, out of all 535 people, I am the only one that has not taken a bribe. He made that public statement and it went into the congressional record. And no one even objected to it, because they all knew it was true. The only one out of 535 that had not taken a bribe. That means all these people that are standing up right now in Congress and preaching goodness, they're being bribed. One of the ones that was the strongest against the COVID, talking about gain of function, their wife took a bribe of $1 million. Yeah, they have their family do it, thinking that they're keeping their hands clean. They all need to be exposed, and they all need to be put away. Whatever the penalty is for what they did, it should be exercised, and they should have to be accountable. We cannot make progress if we have rot inside the operation of our government. We will always have war because they make money in war. They all get more bribes when they vote for war. This ridiculous thing with Ukraine. They estimate that there's been a total of $2 trillion. They advertised like $80 billion. And now they're up to like $350 that they've admitted to. But there's evidence that it's been $2 trillion. And the president of Ukraine is an actor, just like the president of the United States before Trump took over. He's an actor. It's not even he's using the name of who was the president, but he's an actor. He's paid for what he's doing as an actor. Most people won't face it. He even said that on public television when he was meeting with the Prime Minister of England. It was on public television. And the people that were his handlers just went into shock. But it's there. If we want peace, we have to root out the evil. We have to dig it up and expose it and destroy it. And destroying an individual doesn't do it. We have to separate the individual from the evil that they are performing. Now, that doesn't mean the individual should not be held accountable, because they should be. If we do something evil, we should be held accountable. and not just say, well, you know, they're supposed to separate the person from the evil, so I'm off the hook. No, that's not the way it works. The individual must be held accountable, but the evil has to be destroyed, which is much bigger than an individual. We have to root out the whole system. Right now, the biggest moneymaker of evil is child abuse. They sell children. That is the biggest industry for money making for governments, for cartels that used to be only drugs, our southern border. That's the primary reason that they let all the immigrants in, to get the children, and they sell them off. Yeah, that's it. That is the biggest source of income for the evil operation, is the selling of children. And all the terrible things they do to them. So this is being attacked, and we need to support this activity. We need to support the activity of deporting every illegal immigrant. They are breaking up all the sanctuary cities. Thank goodness. So just new things are happening in the last 24 hours. Our website is the only one I know of that is a Christian Science website that is exposing the evil. Mary Baker Eddy makes it very clear that we have to expose the evil. We have to take off the mask. That's what Chapter 5 is all about. Animal Magnetism Unmasked. Originally, it was titled Animal Magnetism, and she changed the name. Because we don't have to just know about it, we have to take off the mask. If you don't participate, you don't deserve to have any freedom. Because with the technology today and the ability to find out the facts, and you can't do it through Google, because Google is a fraudulent company, one of the most corrupt organizations. We have a link at the bottom of every page of our website that goes to a search engine that is uncensored. They don't sell your data, and you can find anything that's on the internet. We highly recommend you use it. If we do not uncover the problem, because this is all reflected in sin, sickness, disease, and death, those things are a result of the various forms of evil which are accepted by society. And by accepted, I mean they are passive about it. There are statements from very intelligent people that say that a country declines because good people know there's a problem and do nothing about it. We've had that on our website and the picture of the individual many times. If you go to the website, you will find that we have exposed a tremendous amount of evil. And we have the references and the prayer treatments right alongside them, so you can clear your thought and see how to solve the problem. Just exposing the evil is only half of it. We have to do the other half. And we do that. We have over 300 prayer treatments. And they're anywhere from 30 minutes to 2 hours long on MP3s. You can listen to them while you're in the kitchen preparing food or taking a shower. If you really want success in improving your spiritual understanding, we give you a detailed study program that will prepare you to be able to heal anything that becomes a problem or is a problem. Frederick L. Rawson was a genius Christian Science practitioner, probably the best next to Mary Baker Eddy. He discovered how to heal back in time. In other words, if you've had a problem for X number of years, you can heal it effective of when you first become aware of the problem, and your entire consciousness will forget about it. It'll be all cleaned out. Healing back in time. He also wrote a book entitled Treatment or Healing by True Prayer. And he has a chapter in there called Applied Treatment. And he lists 1,315 different ailments, problems of anything you can think of. And he tells you what the belief is about, what the medical profession says is, what is this problem about? And he tells you that in a few words, you know, one or two sentences. And then the rest of the emphasis is on how to heal it. 1,315 different ailments are covered in that book. And we have everything on the website alphabetized, indexed, where you can get to anything you want. Now, that's one book we don't recommend you read from beginning to end, because that section on applied treatment, you should only read about the problem, if you have a problem, that you have or that comes up. Don't even look at anything else, because you don't want to fill your thought with all of the different problems in the world, because they're all there. He was looking out the window one time with another Christian Scientist by the name of Spalding, who's an author on our website. Just like the sports manufacturer Spalding. And this was back around 1915 or so. So we're talking 110 years ago. And there was a man driving a cart with an animal that was pulling it that was full of rocks. And he felt uneasy about something, so he stopped it and went around to where the tailgate was to inspect it. And while he was back there, something alarmed the animal, and he raised up and dumped a whole load of rocks on the man. I don't know whether he was even considered alive while he was covered up. But Frederick L. Rawson saw this event take place. And he made this statement. There is nothing but God. As soon as he got done saying that, the man came up out of the rocks like he was a rocket without a scratch on him. Not a scratch. Instantaneous healing. He healed him back to the way he was before the accident. Now that's a very short term back in time, you know, a few seconds or maybe a minute or something. But he's healed people that long term had problems and made the healing effective when they first were aware that there was a problem. He did it 500, he said over 500 times. Over 500 times. He was a great sportsman. He has an 18-page bio. You should read it. It's on our website. He went to a rifle shooting contest. And he took two or three of his students with him. And they all did the same thing. So when it was time for him to shoot, he turned his head away from the target, closed his eyes, and got his thought in alignment with God to the best of his ability. And when everything was calm and he felt totally at ease and that he was directly in alignment with God, he pulled the trigger. Still with his eyes closed, turned away from the target. Well, he won the shooting contest, not just that one bullseye. And the two or three other people that were students, they experienced the same thing. Mr. Rawson won the contest, but they all got bullseyes by following that same pattern. There are several people that are on our website that had 15-minute appointments. After the 15 minutes, that was the end of the meeting with their patient. And they either were healed or the door was opened if they needed to do something. Like there was one that was a mining engineer and he was out of work. And he had a better understanding of God in that 15 minutes. And he had his consciousness uplifted so that after he left the office, he realized that he had a letter of recommendation in his coat jacket that he had received like two or three years before when he was working. And for some reason, he kept the letter even though he didn't need it. And every time he changed coat jackets when he was going to the office, he moved the letter to his new coat jacket. He'd been carrying it around for 3 years, but he never thought about it. But after having 15 minutes with Wentworth Winslow, one of the four that I mentioned had 15-minute appointments, he realized that he had that letter with him. And he walked right over. The guy happened to be in the same city that the letter was addressed to. He walked right over to his office. And the guy said, "We are so glad you came. We have a situation that we haven't been able to fulfill. Very important position in mining. And I can see you're well qualified for it. And I know the man that wrote this letter." So they hired him right there on the spot. This was reported like two or three years later, and he had had a very, very good employment relationship with the mining company. Everything we need, we already have. We are just not aware of it. We never need something that belongs to someone else. We never need to steal anything. Joel Goldsmith, very advanced Christian Science student, had 15-minute appointments. Somebody called him from the Benevolent Association, which is a Christian Science nursing home there in the Boston area. That's where he was living at the time and had his office. And so he went over there, and when he walked in, the receptionist said, "You don't want to go in there. Everybody here has," and she named whatever the problem was, and it was one that was considered contagious. I don't know, it's probably the flu or something like that. And she mentioned how many people are there. She said they all have the problem. So he said, "You only have one problem. You don't have whatever it was, 150 people or whatever." She said, "You only have one problem." He sat down in the lobby for a few minutes and thought about the things he needed to think about to clear his consciousness, to know that the problem was unreal because it wasn't a part of anything God created. So it couldn't be a part of an idea of God. And we are all ideas of God. Our spiritual nature is a reflection of the ideas of God. And after a few minutes of thinking along whatever he was thinking about, they started coming out. People that had been in beds and the nurses started coming out. And they said, "Everybody's healed. What happened here? Everybody's healed at the same time." Well, those are three people. And Bliss Knapp is another one that I'm sure exercised that same capacity. Because when he was 7 years old, 7 or 8 years old, his mother had a tragic accident and passed on. And his father, Ira Knapp, was one of Mary Baker Eddy's lecturers that traveled around. And remember, this was back when Mary Baker Eddy was alive. In fact, this was around 1880. So 30 years she was still alive after this. And so she really needed him as a lecturer. That was in the early stages of Christian Science being discovered. So she took Bliss Knapp under her wing and raised him. Remember, she was a woman that was fighting to even get her book published and all that kind of stuff. And she took him under her wing at 7 or 8 years old. Gave him the best education from the best university. So he was true blue Christian Science all the way. Absolutely, his life was Christian Science. And he was led to make some investments when he was a very young man. And they were the kind of investment that did not require any management. I don't know, it could have been raw land, but didn't require any management. And he kept it his whole adult life. And when he passed on, it was worth $400 million. This was in 1958. And you can go to the internet and put in $400 million in 1958, and put in 10% interest, and it'll tell you what the value would be today. And it's something over $300 billion. So he would be the second wealthiest man in the world right now, If he only got 10% a year, and normally someone that is a very astute investor earns a lot more than 10% a year, but that's a very conservative interest rate. He didn't spend any time on investments. He spent his time on healing and teaching. Totally devoted to Christian Science and promoting Christian Science. That's what his whole life was. So you don't have to be in the investment business to conquer what many people fight all the time, and that is how to pay their bills. Because most people don't use intelligence. They want something that belongs to someone else, and so they take out a loan to get it. And they're burdened their whole life with paying loans, which includes interest, of course. He didn't do that. He made some investments, very small amount, sat on them for his whole adult life. I don't know, probably 50 or 60 years. I didn't look up the date of his birth, but I know 58 was when he passed on. Everything in our life can be solved. Every conflict can be prevented if we do one thing. Follow the two commandments which Christ Jesus gave us as one unified commandment when he was asked by the Pharisees, what is the greatest commandment of all? Because according to Mary Baker Eddy, people took those Ten Commandments and parlayed them into categories and subcategories and ended up with hundreds of commandments, if you can believe that. So they had hundreds of commandments, not just 10. And they asked him, what is the greatest of all? And his answer was this: love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. And the second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. So he didn't give them just the first part. He didn't even breathe in between. I mean, it was like one continuous sentence. And the second is like unto it. So in other words, they are indelibly connected. And of course, the Bible tells us that if you cannot love your brethren who you see, how can you love God whom you do not see? It is clearly stated in the Bible, but people ignore it. They profess to be loving their highest concept of God, whatever that is, but they won't treat their neighbors themselves. And their neighbor starts at home. They don't treat their wife or their husband or their kids or their mother and father or their friends or their enemies. Mary Baker Eddy wrote an article, Love Your Enemies. And she says, who is thine enemy? Except someone that we have fabricated in our own mind to be an enemy. In order to heal any evil, we have to separate the personality from the evil and focus our thought not on a person, but on the evil. To expose it, recognize it, eradicate it, and make sure we don't think about it, talk about it, and do it ourselves. The evil might be within ourselves that we're dealing with, whatever it is. We need to follow the example of Christ Jesus and Mary Baker Eddy. She had everyone attacking her because she was a woman. And for man to take orders from a woman 115 years ago was a very big pill to swallow. She had resentment, envy, and she was very wealthy because she was very successful in what she did. She wrote a book that was saving people from all of their ills. People bought it all over the world. Next to the Bible, it's probably one of the most popular books that ever was sold. So yeah, she was on the sour end of success. She was getting all the hate and envy. And yet she was called Mother because she loved impersonally everyone. If we're in a conflict, we need to wake up. We need to live the life that is demanded by the definition of God. Live the qualities of God. And that does not include hate. That includes love, not hate. It includes principle and order, not chaos and conflict. Do you have your house in order? Your garage? You keep your car clean? Your clothes clean in order? You keep everything in your house in order? Your physical house as well as your mental house? Are you orderly about your schedule? Have you taken any courses or studied any books about time management so you can have your schedule in order? Do you have goals? Because if you don't have a plan, then you're planning to fail. Because that's what it is, to not have a plan. And if you don't have it written down or on your computer or on your cell phone. In fact, you need to read it. You need to read it. You need to read the words. And you need to specify when you're going to do what. If you have a goal of that's 5 years from now, you need to map that out so that you do something on it on a periodic basis, whatever is appropriate. Whether it's something every day or something once a week. And you need to monitor your results. In the past, the most intelligent people in the world were Christian Scientists. The most successful people were Christian Scientists. They were the thinkers of the day. We don't have to worry about that now because we have no Christian Scientists. We have a Sodom and Gomorrah country, Sodom and Gomorrah world, where we have slipped into everything bad, you name it. The music is bad, the movies are bad, the publications are bad, the language is... I grew up in a family where I'd never even heard swear words. And had no idea what, when I first heard them, what they meant. About the first time I heard them was when I was in the military, which was after I graduated from college. That's about the first time I heard any swear word. We certainly didn't have it in our family. My mother and father both had people in their families that had been healed through Christian Science. And they were raised in Christian Science. They met at a Christian Science organization meeting. And so our family was Christian Science from beginning to end. Never a foul word. I had no idea how babies were born. We never discussed it. Everything was on a wholesome level. I'm so grateful for that time. And as most people, I wish I would have appreciated it more, but I didn't have anything to compare it with. So that was just, that's what our life was. That's what was natural. We didn't know anything else existed. We had exemptions from the church, so we didn't have to take any courses in school that were about the body and all that kind of stuff. And there were four of us kids, and we went to the same school for 12 years. And not only did each one of us have perfect attendance, but the whole family had perfect attendance. I don't think they ever had even one child that had perfect attendance for all 12 years until our family showed up. And then everybody in the family, my sisters and I didn't have any brothers, unfortunately. I would have always wanted to have a brother. But no, I had three sisters. And perfect attendance by all of us. Not a day of illness. Totally skipped everything that was considered a childhood disease. We didn't even know what they were. They talk about these vaccines against, you know, this or that, or, you know, to protect you supposedly against this or that or whatever. I never had a needle in my arm until I went to the military. And then they just put it in there. You go through this line and it's either that or you get out and become a ground pounder, which is a soldier on the ground. I mean, you still don't get out of it, but you wouldn't be able to stay in officer. You wouldn't be able to be an officer like I was and be a pilot. You'd have to. I was drafted right after I got out of college. I was drafted. So I had one choice, to either join and go through officer school and be a pilot. Well, I suppose I could have been something else, but that was the most interesting thing to me. And I certainly didn't want to be an enlisted man. So I made the choice to do that, and that's one thing I had to do. They had to put something in my arm, some kind of a shot. I don't know, even know what it was. But I felt it when they put it in there, and my whole body kind of rejected it. But that's where I heard my first foul word. And going through boot camp, they certainly did let the words flow. So think about what we have that we're facing. Think about what a newborn baby is facing. We got the lowest morals, and I'm talking about the whole world, the lowest morals that anybody could ever dream of. There's no sanctity about marriage. People get divorced. In fact, people don't even bother to get married. So there's no concept of family. There's no concept of fidelity to your spouse. And as mentioned, the movies are terrible. They talk bad. They show everything. Unbelievable. I can't watch a movie that's any more recent than about 40 years old or 50 years old. They never used to permit any of that. And a talk show? No. And now they publish it on football stadiums. The worst words you can imagine. Everybody talks about it. Females, males, everybody. It's ridiculous. There are no morals. There's no melody in any music. Where are the great composers? There are none. We used to have great music. We had great composers. Think of Gershwin. The music that had all that great melody. Huh. We had good books. Yep. It all goes at once. It all goes together. It doesn't go instantly. It's over a period of time. Movies that I used to think were funny, I look back at it now. I mean, I laughed at it, thinking of it as a joke. I think there was one called Marriage American Style. Another one called Peyton Place. I watched them. And what, something about the Dynamic Enterprise or something in a movie called Dallas. And you think about it, and they were all introducing low morals. Dallas was a movie about how could you steal things from other companies. It was all showing the introduction to breaking up families and lowering the morals. All of it. And the comedy acts, they started introducing foul language. I mean, you don't realize it because it's a little at a time. Johnny Carson's show was one of the greatest long-lasting shows ever. There wouldn't be a single foul word on there or any discussion about low morals. None. And he was the most popular person on television. I watched him. I didn't watch anything consistently because I wasn't that interested in television. But, yeah, I watched quite a few of his shows. They had shows like The Lawrence Welk Show. I mean, wholesome from day one. And little by little, they introduced the deterioration of the fabric of society. And how can we possibly get any lower than where we are right now? Letting boys go in girls' bathrooms. Changing the sex of children if they just say they want to do it. The parents don't have any vote on it. It just gets done. I mean, how in the world could everyone let this happen? Like I mentioned, a country goes down when good men see that there's a problem and do nothing about it. And that's exactly what's happened. Exactly what's happened. How many families do you know where the wife and the husband really take into consideration anything that they do and how it's going to affect everybody in the family or in the business? How many? Do we care about our brethren at all? If you want to be able to heal yourself or anyone else, you have to cultivate a life of giving. The Bible says, 10th part. I consider that for an average person. If you're making $100,000 a year, $10,000 right off the top. If you're making $10,000 a year, $1,000. If you're making $100 a week, $10. Doesn't matter how many zeros are on there. This is percentage. And it's of the gross, not the net. And I consider that an average. Were you an average student in school? Or were you a B or an A? Or were you at the top of your class? I know two people that were 4-0. They never got a B in 12 years. As Christian Scientists, with the ability and the tools that we have available to us, because remember, we are a reflection of God, and God is total ability. So we have the ability to do anything we need to do. We should be exceptional, not compared to other people, but to compare to a perfect standard. There was a trainer of girls' running team in high school in a movie I saw. And she said, don't ever even look at someone else on the track. I'm training you based on a standard, not based on someone else. How fast or how slow someone else runs has nothing to do with anything. I'm training you to be able to run this in a certain time. However many seconds or minutes it was. It was a 440-yard dash. Or maybe it was the 400-meter. And she started out low because the team was terrible when she came to the school. They were never winning anything. So she started out slow. She didn't care whether they won or lost a meet. She cared about whether or not they followed the discipline that she was training them for. How many seconds or minutes was it to run that 440-yard dash? Or 400-meter? That's what they were trained to do. And don't even look at anybody else on the track. Even in your own team, don't look at them. The only thing you do is look at straight ahead so you don't run into someone. You don't look to the left, you don't look to the right. You stay in your lane. You know, they have these lanes marked out with powder, white powder, so you know where you're supposed to be running. And she said, that's all I want you to do. And in training, she would have them run as many times as it required until they would be able to come in right on the second. I don't know, there might have been a one or two range window, but, you know, whatever she specified, that's what they had to do. That's what they had to focus on. And they learned so they could feel it. When they were running, they could feel if they were running the right pace. So she started out very slow. And at first meet, they lost. And the parents were all upset. Didn't bother her. They ran the pace that she trained them to run. And the same thing with the second and the third and the fourth meet and so forth. Each one, she increased the pace a little bit. And she was training them to build endurance and strength That's what her goal was. So she set this time. Boy, she got heat from everybody. They wanted to fire her, you know, after the first meet. To make a long story short, they won the state championship. In 1 year, they went from being a total loser to winning the state championship. And the most beautiful thing about it was that after they won, they looked for the coach. She was nowhere to be found. She was gone. She wasn't looking for credit, even though they couldn't have done it without her. She didn't even want to be there to get it, because she wanted to keep her thought on the idea. And when she could see, in fact, it didn't show when she left, but when she could see that they were following the discipline, then she had accomplished her goal. And they had delivered on the training. That's what we need to do. Forget about comparison. God has no competition. God has no opposition. And we shouldn't either. We need to keep focused. Mary Baker Eddy got a letter from one of her students that couldn't seem to heal a vision problem. And she wrote a response back. She never used the telephone, even though they had it in the year that she was, you know, the last few years. And she wrote back and said, "Are you able to focus no matter what comes your way?" That's the key. You know, vision is about focusing. If we're trying to heal a vision problem, that is one of the primary things we need to be dealing with. Focusing. No distraction. No diversion. That's why I brought up the topic about time management. How about read a book? Do you know how to read a book? We have an article on that. That's part of what's on the website. Mortimer Adler wrote a book entitled How to Read a Book. Published it in 1940. That is the classic. We have the information on our website, or you can just go to the internet and do a search. Remember, that link at the bottom of our every web page gives you the best one that we know of as of now. Elon Musk is supposed to be coming out with a search engine, but he's been busy lately. We highly recommend that everyone study that and use that as their guide. You need to know how to manage your time. You need to know how to properly read a book. You need to learn how to think. You probably don't know. Most people don't have a clue on how to think. They don't teach it in any of the schools. Doesn't matter what level of education you're in, they don't teach it. There are some basic things about self-improvement. And you're constantly fighting it because we are continuously barraged with evil. It doesn't matter what your supposed age is according to the calendar. You should always be working on self-improvement. If you're a pianist, you know, for your own pleasure, I don't mean a professional or anything. You could be a saxophone player. If you're a tuba player, a sousaphone player, it's a little more difficult. They don't have a lot of songs that have a lot of melody in it because that's more of a background, but, you know, whatever. If you're a musician of any kind, if you had any years, I mean, us kids, we took lessons all the time, 12 years. That was the normal in our family. The girls took dancing lessons. I wasn't interested in that. But we all took music and piano. We all took piano. If we wanted to do something else, we could do it, but we had to take piano. We should be striving to be excellent at everything we do. We can't learn unless we know how to read. We can't have balance in our life unless we have some other things that we're involved in. It doesn't have to be any outside organization. It's never too late. It's like the gentleman that was in his 90s. He had a lovely piece of property. And he was looking at his plants and trees and so forth. He said, you know, I'd like to have a nut tree. I forget what kind of nut it was. But it took like 7 years before it would bear fruit. You know, nuts. So he told the fellow that was taking care of his plants and so forth that he'd like to have that nut tree. And of course this fellow knew, you know, that his boss was, you know, elderly, probably knew how old he was, whatever. And he said, you know, it takes 7 years before that will bear fruit. You won't get any nuts for 7 years. He said, well, you better get busy and get it planted. You see, we don't conduct our lives based on animal magnetism. That is sheep that follow the herd. We're all alphas. We work outside the box. Remember, this prayer treatment is about life, awakening, expanding our thought, and eradicating war, conflict, obstacles. There was a motivation speaker one time that was very popular. And he said, you should take your dictionary and cut all these words out. And he named off a few of them. Something like impossible or difficult or, you know, those kind of words. He said, just cut it right out. So you'd have to have at least two dictionaries. Because one cutting out the word on one side of the page is going to cut out other words on the other side that you might want to keep. But with the technology we've had for a long time to be digital, we can do anything we want to. in terms of editing and emphasizing and so forth. The more senses one uses, the more effective is the study. Your eyes, ears, your fingers, typing. If you're going to really seriously study, you're going to keep busy. In fact, back in Mary Baker Eddy's day, she said, don't worry about other people. If you're a good Christian Scientist, you're going to be busy taking care of your own affairs. And of course, she's talking about what's up on our shoulder, our own thinking, not what's in a material brain. That's just a joke. But yeah, we're going to keep busy taking care of our own affairs, keeping our own consciousness straight, our own thinking in line. And you know what a moment is? The smallest measurement of time. It can't be divided because it's not a mathematical number. How many moments a day do we have? We have 1,440 minutes. Richard Strain was having a very difficult time with his life. He went to a Christian Science practitioner and he explained what the problem was. He said, I'm working 18 hours a day. I get home just in time to eat, rest, take a shower, prepare for the next day, and I'm out the door. She said, well, when do you study? He said, I don't have time to study. When he first opened the conversation, he said, I feel like I'm just going around in a circle, not getting anywhere. I'm in a rut. And that's when she said, when do you study? So he was not studying at all. He was expecting miracles. He was forgetting the fact that you have to practice, practice, practice until the music becomes you, until the music plays you. We have to let the facts of Christian Science play us. We have to let what Mary Baker Eddy has given us play us. What Christ Jesus gave us, play us. Habakkuk and everybody else. We should be so grateful for anyone we've learned anything from. If you learn about time management, be grateful for the people that wrote the book or that recorded the MP3s if you're listening to it verbally. If you really take it to heart and learn the book, How to Read a Book, same thing. If you take any speed reading courses, I highly recommend that. Highly recommend it. I take everything I could on reading, including speed reading. You should be good at everything you do. And if you don't, you're forgetting the definition of good. You're forgetting that there is no competition or opposition. You're not competing with anyone else. You're not opposing anyone else. You'll never get in a war or a conflict if you don't oppose other people. The brilliant Frederick L. Rawson said, we are on this planet for one reason. To make other people happy. One of the most brilliant people that has ever been on planet Earth. That's what he said. He was a consultant to people that had electrical problems all over the world that came to him. They had to come by ship, walking, Pony Express, whatever, to get to where he was. That's what he said. He knew nothing about Christian Science. And one of the largest newspapers in England asked him to research if what they heard about Christian Science was true. They said people are coming over here from America and they're healing people. We want you to check it out, see if it's really true. He didn't know anything about Christian Science. He had never heard that information. And when he started researching it, because he had a love of the Bible, and they knew that they couldn't find a better thinker than he, somebody that was thorough and a great researcher and so forth, so they hired him to do it. And he had a great interest in it because, as I said, he was a student of the Bible. And, of course, the result was, as I told you, he became one of the greatest Christian Scientists of all time. The top people, the top thinkers, they were the ones who were students of Christian Science. Einstein, he's the listed author. Read what he says about Christian Science on our website. Huh. He said science, and of course he was a physicist, he was known for his famous formula, E equal MC squared, relativity, study about time and mass and space and all that good stuff. He said science without religion was lame. And religion without science is blind. There you go, Christian Science. What is it? It is religion, which is Christianity, and it is science, which is the system of divine metaphysics, which has the same kind of functioning as mathematics. You have elements, you have operators, and you have levels. Same thing in music. Same thing in any great science. Chemistry, same thing. Art is a different story. Go to medicine. You can take the same person to 10 different doctors and they'll give you 10 different opinions. It's an art. It's not a science. There's no fixed principle. Because it's based on believing in matter, based on believing in the brain. It's based on mortal mind, not divine mind. It's based on matter, not spirit. It's based on opinion, not fact. Christian Science is it. It is the only religion that is based on science, and it is the only science that includes religion. That's why Einstein made such wonderful statements about it. He said, "Blessed art thou," talking about Mary Baker Eddy, "because all that is in this book," talking about the Christian Science textbook. He said, imagine a woman discovered this 80 years ago. He said that about 1946, which would have made it 1866, the year she discovered it. 1875 is when she first published the first book. And why did he say, imagine a woman? Because a woman couldn't vote. A woman couldn't hold property. They didn't count them in a group. Just like Jesus. 4,000 men plus women and children. Very few women worked. That was the reason they had World War II. To get the woman out of the house. So they put them to work in the factories to to make war equipment and machines and so forth. Yeah, that was the purpose of World War II, to get the women out of the house. And the first one was to get the men out and kill them. That was World War I. All of these wars had a very nefarious purpose. And I told you what nefarious meant. You can look it up yourself. It's the lowest form of evil. Every war has been the lowest form of evil for its purpose. And this one that they've been trying to start now, what in the world could be the result of a nuclear war when nuclear weapons can destroy a whole country in a matter of minutes? Russia has the most advanced equipment in the world. For Europe to pick a fight with Russia is the most stupid thing in the world they could do. Russia could destroy all of Europe in a few minutes. All of it. Every major city, every country could be totally blown up with their weapons. They've got the most advanced weapons. They've had the most advanced planes, airplanes, for years. The MiG, M-I-G, ever since I was a small boy, I've heard about their MiGs. And I was a pilot. Yeah, the MiG has been popular, known worldwide. They have an airplane that looks like a regular jet airplane, not a helicopter. And it can come down on its tail and hover like a helicopter. We don't have anything that even come close to that. There's things on the internet about it. You can see it. It is amazing. Their technology is so far advanced. Well, we need to be grateful. And remember, money's not the only thing you can give. We got 1,440 minutes. I told you about Richard Strain. Oh, I didn't tell you the rest of it. Yeah, so she said, how much are you studying? And he said, I don't have time to study. And she said, if you don't study 5 hours a day, okay, there's 24, and 4.8 hours is 20%. So a little over 20%. She said, if you don't study 5 hours a day, you're not going to get anywhere. He said, how am I going to do that? 24 hours and I'm gone 18, I'm home 6. How can I study 5 out of the 6 hours? She didn't say anything. It wasn't her responsibility to make his schedule. He was the one that has the problem. She told him how to solve it. If he doesn't want to solve it, that's up to him. I can tell you everything until I'm blue in the face, but you have to do it. We have the study program that will enable you to heal any problem you have or any problem you may ever have. In fact, you'll eliminate most of them because of advancing spiritually. You will eliminate even having the problem come up. I've never been to a doctor. There's no doctors alive that would attract me to come. Christian Scientists, they don't need doctors. They've got God. They've got Christian Science. That teaches them things that you can't learn anywhere else. Most churches think Jesus is God, a man, and they worship a man hanging on a cross with, a lot of them have thorns on the thing on their head, a crown made out of thorns and blood coming down, and they've got crosses that are their jewelry to remind them that, yeah, he got killed. Yeah. That's what I remember Jesus, you know, he got killed to save us from our sins. It is such a fraud. Think about it. Would any thinking person agree to the dogma that the churches try to get you to agree to? How can any thinking person agree to that? That's their God? What kind of a God? What kind of a God would permit storms and earthquakes? That has nothing to do with God. Remember what Habakkuk said? God is of purer eyes than to behold evil. He's certainly not going to create evil. Mary Baker Eddy says, if you think that God is pleased when we suffer, you are wrong. Mankind's suffering doesn't please a God that is perfect. Suffering is not a part of perfection. How could it possibly be? We have to be grateful for everything, and we have to think about, if we really want to go somewhere, we have to follow what Jesus did. He loved, loved, loved. He gave, gave, gave. He didn't take, take, take. Almost everybody takes, takes, takes. We have another organization that we know of and friends with, and they send out 2,000 emails a week. In those emails, they send a lesson that was published from the Christian Science Publishing Society between the years 1910 and 1920. So every week you can study whatever the lesson is for that week. You can line it up with the same topic that they have published from the Publishing Society, except these are much more genuine because they were back when people really knew what Christian Science was. And they send these out free, 2,000 of them every week. And I asked the gal that does it, I said, how long does it take you to do it? Oh, about 5 hours. You know, they get some emails that somebody changed their email, and so it comes back and it's not delivered, and, you know, little details that, you know, end up taking 5 hours to process 2,000 emails. And I said, how many thank yous do you get? She said, thank yous? Oh, we don't really get much of any. Maybe one, maybe none, maybe two. I'd say between 0 and 2. Out of 2,000. If they only got 1%, they would get 20. Getting only 2, that is 0.1%. Are these people grateful? Are they givers? Are they takers? Christian Scientists are just as much of a taker as anyone else. You might as well be robbing a bank. That's what they are, they're takers. You're robbing your own values. You're putting your own character down on the chopping block and cutting your own head off. You're not grateful at all. I said, well, then you're probably not getting a lot of donations, right? She said, no. It's a foreign word to Christian Scientists, giving a donation. By the way, don't give to organizations. Everyone I know of is corrupt. In fact, the Christian Science Church. Giving it to Boston Church, forget it. Giving it to the Red Cross. Clara Barton is an author on our website. You ought to read what she said about Mary Baker Eddy and Christian Science. She was the founder of the American Red Cross. She lived in exactly the time that Mary Baker Eddy did. I think she was born on the same day. Anyway, she lived those same years. Read what she has to say. She's on her website, Clara Barton, B like boy, A-R-T-O-N. Read everything about Einstein. I mean, we've got some brilliant people, some of the greatest physicists. We have quotations and so forth from them. So you have to be grateful. You have to cultivate a life of giving. If you want to just give as a C student, then give 10%. And I'm not saying give it to us. You can give it to anybody. In fact, I recommend that you do a totally different thing on giving. You have to work hard at giving intelligently. Anyway, that's another topic, and this is already over 2 hours. But you have to cultivate a life of giving, and we've got a lot on their website about that. And a complete program on how you can study so you can heal anything that comes up. If you want to talk to us, we have a contact button in our menu. Just click on it, fill out a message, and give us your phone number, and we'll call you. If you're in the U.S. or Canada. If you're not, we ask you to sign up for a free service that includes telephone with or voice with Telegram. And we can talk just like we're on the phone. So we'll talk to you. We'll do anything to help you get jump started. But you've got to decide that you want to be cultivating a life of giving, or you're in the wrong business. You're not going to be able to follow Christ Jesus. You're not going to be able to follow Mary Baker Eddy. You're not going to be able to heal. You have to start off by deciding you're going to cultivate a life of giving. If you don't do that, you'll never learn about God. Never. If you don't love your neighbors yourself, you'll never be able to love God. If you don't love God, you're not going to be able to heal. I'm grateful for everyone that I've learned from, and I feel I'm just beginning. I've been in this my whole life, and I feel I'm just beginning. I've spent thousands, tens of thousands of hours studying over my life, and I feel I'm just beginning because it's infinite. We're dealing with an infinite topic here. God is infinite. What you want to do is be on a path of progress. Mary Baker Eddy says, infinite progression is concrete being. You want to be on that path. You want to get that nut tree planted immediately. If it takes 7 years to yield nuts. If you want to be chewing on walnuts or pecans or whatever kind you like, you better get that tree planted. You better start studying. If you don't, you can't move forward. If you don't move forward, you're not going to have any change in your life. It's going to be right where you are, whatever that is. If you're happy with that, then don't even go to the website. Einstein said, curiosity has its own reason for existing. Never stop questioning. But that's not for anyone that doesn't want to progress. That's for the thinker. That's for the one that wants to progress. They want to peck open the shell. They want to live outside the box. They want to think outside the box. They want to do outside the box. There's a great world out there. You have to make the decision. Since this is focused on life, I'm going to read a short prayer treatment by Mary Baker Eddy that she gave her students who earned a CSD degree, Doctorate of Christian Science. They were invited to the class by Mary Baker Eddy. That's the only way they could get in that class to earn a CSD degree. And I'm going to read one, a prayer treatment on life. It's very short, very effective, and it speaks for itself. And that will be the conclusion of this over 2 hour audio 2 hours and 10 minutes right now. Okay, here it is. Diapason of heaven with a focus on life by Mary Baker Eddy from her Metaphysical College, 1898. Life is holy. We must hallow this word, for it is a sacred name for God. Declare often, there is only one life, and that is God. There is no personal life. My life is God, an infinite, incorporeal, all-encompassing, all-present, all-active, everlasting life. Declare that God, good, is the only life of man and the universe. Life is divine. Divine life is my God, and my God is life. Life is enthroned in my consciousness. This is the Word of God. Declare all the truths about life. Claim this revealed life as yours. All of life is right where you are right now. Amen.